This is a Voice It podcast. I'm KLG, and each episode I'll bring to you different stories from business people across the UK on It's Your Business. Everyone has a story to tell. Why not voice it? VoiceItPR.com. Welcome to It's Your Business with me, KLG. Today I have in my studio John Wright. Now, John is a business owner of All Fired Up Food. I hope you guys are fired up to listen to John Wright's story. Very interesting. Come from a chef background, moved into other things, and here we are all fired up. So let's first of all focus on the wood-fired pizzas before we go back into who is John and where we got to now. So wood-fired pizzas began in the pandemic. What were you thinking about?
Oh, it was it must have been a crazy thing to do, everybody would have thought. But 2019, going back slightly, I actually bought myself a wood-fired oven for the garden. And when I started making my pizzas from there, I thought, this is it. This is the win-win situation. The taste just changes everything from doing it in your normal fan oven, because that's where I started. So that's when I decided to start looking for a van, and I looked at a few. Some were actually cleaner on the inside of the cab than they were in the back of the unit, which is unbelievable, yes, but they are out there. And anyway, in the 2020, I came across this van, which was actually local, and I went on my own. I didn't take anybody with me. Normally, you'd take a mechanic or whatever, and I stood in this van. And it was already mapped out as a kitchen. This lady had it as like a burger, some sandwich, you know, doing egg bacon butties, but she couldn't really find a pitch. So I stood inside it and it just felt really, it felt me.
Yeah.
And, there was a guy out there, I don't know if they planted him, and he actually says, you know, you look really good in there. You look the part. And I took it out for a spin and I thought, no, this feels good. You know when you go for your gut feeling, and you don't go for anybody else.
100%. Always go with your gut.
I went for my gut. It had a high mileage, but it was a tidy. I thought, this is the beginning. So then, obviously, I'd been following a guy from down south, Amigo Ovens, Jose, and I said, look, I've got this van, and I want an oven fitting in it. So I drove it down south, left it with him, got the train back. And he actually completed it just before COVID came into lockdown. And it was like, what do I do now? So I got used to the oven and got doing pizzas for neighbours and stuff. And then it opened up and I got on the local cricket pitch and I did the Friday nights and Sundays. I remember the first night that I did. You never forget your first night you did it. And
no.
I'd left my dough out too long. I'd overproved it. And if people know about, obviously, the science behind growing your yeast, it gets to a certain position and it just gets exhausted and just flops. And what it was that day, I actually took my daughter over to Preston and she was doing her bike ability, learning to ride a bike. And it were important to me. I didn't want to let my daughter down.
Yeah.
More than my business. So yeah. I pulled this dough out and it was quite a hot day and not realizing it was just like,
oh no.
So where these queues of people waiting outside, my wife was by my side all the way on this particular day. And she could see that I was ready to pack in because the dough wasn't doing what it was supposed to be doing. And she said, just get your head down and just do it. And to this day, you know, I've improved a lot from that. You know, you learn by your mistakes. Yeah, if you don't fail in business, you've not got anywhere.
Absolutely. I think, John, starting in the midst of a pandemic, for a start, takes a heck of a lot of courage in business. Secondly, having those mistakes early doors, I think that's a great thing. Because it does, it gives you that jolt of adrenaline for a start. It gives you that moment of, do I, don't I, am I actually ready for this? And I think having your wife there to say, come on, we're going for it. And what was the sense of elation when you finished that first day? What was that like?
Oh, it was a big buzz. And I mean, I thought, we've done it. We've done this, you know, we've done the first night. Obviously, she's got a full-time job as a nurse. So, I mean, it's not her vocation to make pizzas, but she's there. She stepped in to help me out, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't have anybody else. And, he was thinking the next step is obviously another one, you know, but the sense of relief, I could have packed in. I could have closed that flap on the van, but my wife was there by my side and said, come on, we can do this.
That's brilliant. I think it says a lot about you as well as a business owner. I mean, what you did was you stepped up for your daughter, you went and did your dad thing, which was great. I mean, people buy from people buy authenticity. You went and did that. Your pizza overproofed. Your wife then helped out. She's a nurse. She'd have been busy at that time as well. And there you are. You've now got a business that, you know, that people are really enjoying. You've had a really busy weekend. So where did it all start for you, John?
I love cooking from pretty enough a young age, really. I got it from my mum and my grandma. When I were at school, I went into the home ec. Probably my first pizza was probably, I don't know if people remember, the scone-based pizza.
Yeah.
I never really thought now that I would be into pizzas, making pizzas for a living, you know what I mean? So when I left school, I went to college for 2 years, did catering college. I actually got pastry chef of the year. That was my fame. I got this flower that was on a plaque, and it was probably one of the best trophies you could get then, you know.
Was that for the scone pizza? Because it's more
I mean, apple pies. I make a wicked apple pie.
Oh, I love apple pie. Oh no, I wish you'd never said that.
Pastry to melt in the mouth. You just are weak at the knees, you know. I'm selling it now, you know what I mean?
You absolutely are.
And I had this passion for food. I was very practical. From the theory side, I really struggled. Because school, I really struggled, like, theory side, like, numbers. I'm a very sensitive person at school. I'm more of visual. I saw things in a different way to everybody else. But I never got that attention. I never got that help. In a way, school, I suppose, failed me, you know what I mean? I think a lot of people in my era who were, say, messing about or never got it, they were failed in the system, you know. So I did my 2 years at college. For the pastry chef of the year, I got into a place called the Sturk House at Gisborne.
Oh, I know it, yeah.
Yeah. And they took me on because of the pastry chef of the year, and I was put into the doing the sweets. And like any kitchen, any business, they move you about.
Yeah.
And they move me on to sort of veg. And now vegetables can be exciting.
They can.
I mean, I can go through the things that I used to do with veg. But from a mass sort of volume, doing, say, weddings, catering for weddings, you were talking big pans of potatoes, big pans of carrots.
That's a world away from pastry chef, is it not?
Yeah, it is a world away from pastry chef. And the hours, I mean, for people who have ever worked in the sort of hospitality, is long hours, and then you never got paid for your overtime. You'd be working a breakfast shift, so you're maybe doing like 6 o'clock working through, and then you'd be lucky to, say, maybe get half an hour, and then you'd be straight on to the shift later on, and you're working right through to late on at night, serving all the, you know, for the guests, for doing the weddings. And it really got to me. And at this one night, I was down in the heat of the kitchen with the main head chef, and he was really giving it some, and they do, because they're stressed out. And I just couldn't take it anymore. I sort of made that decision that this is not for me. I don't really want to do this. And on my days off, it was really strange, because I actually went down to a garden centre, and I started looking around a garden centre. And I thought, I'd love to do a job like this, out and about, you know, away from all the stress. And I got chatting to the guy there, and he actually got me a job working in landscaping.
Wow.
This is back in the 80s. And that was because the person who I am, I actually spoke out. I wasn't frightened of speaking out to people and saying, oh, yeah, I'd love to do something like this. And the first sort of day that I worked was working at a stately home down in Derbyshire.
Wow.
And doing this massive pond. So I've done a lot of things. It's made me who I am today.
Now, you had all of that creativity to give. And I think also I'm picking up from you quite a lot of passion as well about what you do. So I reckon when you threw in that job and said, this isn't for me, first of all, you've been true to yourself, which is amazing. But then to actually speak up at the garden centre, something drew you to that garden centre, didn't it, for a start? You were drawn there that day. And to actually say, the guy would feel your creativity and your passion. I would love to do something like this. People pick up on it. They go, this is the type of person we want to work here. I think that's a heads up for anybody in business, any young entrepreneur listening to this. If people can pick up on your passion for what you're doing or passion about life in general, if you're willing to say it, you got that job, you know?
Mm. Yeah. Going back as well, over my life, I was never one for giving up. I always give my, that 101%,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Until that very last second, I'm thinking, this isn't for me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, I mean, my school life wasn't great. I would say probably worst days of my life, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was bullied at school. Probably I was different. I was sensitive. Now, this breakthrough, this from like 2019... is like he just opened to a new world. You know what I mean? This cloud has shifted mentally. You know, I have gone through a lot in my life, through all the different dramas, through different traumas that I've had, and it's made me who I am. I'm stronger. I've no fear. It's really weird. I've no fear in life.
So, in the pandemic, when you first got the van and you were given your neighbours the opportunity to try it out, did you then sense this is going to work?
Yeah, I think before that, actually, because I was looking back on pictures and stuff, and I look with my daughter in the kitchen, and back in 2014, I was actually making pizzas in the kitchen. And so I think that's how it started, probably back 2014. But I've written on a book, I can't remember what date it was, but I wanted a van, I wanted this idea. I've always wanted my own, say, bistro or some sort of food sort of outlet. Yeah. So we used to have these parties where people would come round, a pizza party, and I'd cook them in the fan oven, and people would come in, and we'd gather in the kitchen like everybody does. It's you don't gather in the lounge here, because that is the place, and the food's coming out of the oven, and you know, more pizzas, and you're just happily cooking these pizzas for everybody. And so, yeah, it's 2014 probably began, and then I've had like a few setbacks. I mean, going back to 2005, I actually got diagnosed bipolar 1.
Right.
So I've had a lot of issues with these highs and lows.
Yeah.
And I was out in Ireland, and I was on this big, I'd had a few different sort of triggers in my life. And you're on this big high, and you're high up in the skies like a plane.
Yeah.
And you feel like you can achieve anything, and you've got all these business ideas. I'm giving my money away to, say, homeless people. I'm never one for taking. I'm always one for giving. And then people around you are seeing this what's going on. You're speaking rapidly. You think you're drunk or you're on drugs. And you're not, you don't see this. People around you see it and thinking, this isn't normal, this guy, what he's seeing. And you're not seeing this, getting the sleep, I mean, sleep deprivation, and you're seeing things that are not actually there. And so 2005, it was my brother that picked up on me, my younger brother.
Yeah.
And we're pretty close. We don't know, like twins. We do a lot together. And he actually phoned the doctor. He Googled this, and he's thinking, this is bipolar. You know what I mean? Mm. He actually spoke to the doctor, and the doctor was in with me and said, you've gone this high, you've got to come down.
Yeah.
Well, I went into this really deep depression, and I locked myself. I had a house at the time, and I locked myself in the house. And I didn't want to sort of come out of that place. You know, I felt like everything had gone wrong.
And is that because they said you had bipolar, or is that
and bipolar, and then you start looking back on what you've done in your life, the mistakes you've made, you know, and it all accumulates this negativity. And I know now the negativity weighs you down. And it was through that particular time that a guy knocked on my door, and it was my window cleaner. And to this day, I've got him in my phone as an angel, because to me, it was the angel that saved me that time to get me out. He got me window cleaning, helping me clean windows. So I actually learned another skill, cleaning windows. Now, I didn't set a business up cleaning windows after that, but he saved me, and he got me out. He got chatting to me, and he could see that I needed to get out of this house. Yeah. I still talk to him this day and thank him for what he did, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
And so when that took you out of that and you went doing the window cleaning thing, have you had the major high and major low since, or is it more controlled now?
Yeah, because they put me on medication. I mean, previous to 2005, I wasn't properly diagnosed with it. They put me on, one of the doctors in the same practice put me on beta blockers, which was really totally different to what I'm on now. And what I'm on now, it's a mood stabilizer, and basically stopped me going escalating into those really major highs. And it's basically wires being crossed in your brain. You know, that's how I put it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if you don't have this stabilization, you just go off on one. You know?
Yeah, off at a tangent. Do you feel that medication is working for you then? It's just keeping you stable?
Yeah, it keeps me stable. I've been sectioned twice. I've been in hospital twice. And it's nearly cost my marriage.
Yeah.
The last time was 2017. And I ended up being put into the back of a police van. Not arrested or anything.
No.
They were taking me to the sort of hospital place because I'd missed an appointment. And from there, they sectioned me and they took me to the Priory in Bradford.
And had you just decided, I feel okay, so I can come off these? So you just come off them, and then you just spiraled again?
I had done previously, I had actually done 3 years with no medication. So I know that I've done it. I have been there. But I think what it is the triggers, things that you can take on in your life. I mean, I have done a lot of things.
It sounds to me like it's lots of, I'm no medical expert, but you get all this stuff and it's all pressured and pushed down and down and down. One little thing will lift it, and then it just takes, it's like the kettles that you get in like a camper van, or it's like suddenly you've got this massive bit of steam and it's all bubbling up and bubbling up, but the minute it's opened up, it just goes whoosh.
Oh yeah, it's just a massive explosion, and you're just out there, and you actually, people with bipolar say one, which is more say manic than depressive, they actually take them on in like sales roles because they could sell anything.
Yeah.
They're so convincing.
So what stage are you at now, if you don't mind me asking? Are you on medication still and you just leveled out?
I'll be totally honest with you. I do take my medication. Sometimes I say I'll miss an evening or something like that. But my wife's a nurse, so she gets my medication. So I think she knowingly thinks, yeah, he's not taking it today. Hang on, this has lasted a while, this medication. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But she'll still recognise the sign saying, you're a bit, you know, a bit high today. And I say, yeah, I'm quite happy. This has gone well today. I can get really, like this weekend, I was quite burnt out yesterday. I'm totally exhausted because of obviously the wedding that we've done. And if I take on too much, I can sort of like be quite drained.
Yeah.
But I have my coffee. I feel like my caffeine, my pure coffee, keeps me going through the day.
Yeah.
And I feel that sort of counteracts with my medication. But being with people, I don't know how you feel this, but I actually feel people's energy.
Yeah, I do. You feed off it, don't you?
I feed off it and people connect with me. And young people, I feel as like I inspire the young.
Yeah.
If I see some kids say in the street that's sort of like a bit down, I might speak to them and say, look, what's up? Are you having a good day at school? Yeah. And they might say, no, I'm having a bad day. And I'm thinking, so I go back to the time when I was at school and thinking, look, what's going on, you know?
Yeah, very compassionate.
I think the young, it's important that we help these youngsters through, you know.
Absolutely.
I mean, they've missed so much in the last 2 years, you know.
I know. I mean, that hopefully it will never happen again, but who has ever been through a time like that we've all gone through? But those young people in education and missing exams, missing those connections with people for those 2 years, you know, for some it might have been a godsend, like you. If they were bullied, they might be happy to be at home. For others, it would have been really traumatic that they're not having those connections. Like we said, people are all different, aren't they?
Mm.
They're all different. We all have different needs. But get back to the pizzas. The pandemic was actually okay for you then, because you started a business which has actually grown during these last 2 years.
Yeah. I mean, everybody needs food at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, being mobile as well, that was probably more helpful, getting 100%. Out there. A lot of restaurants had closed where I was still either at a cricket field. The year after, I was at a local friend of mine who has got a tyre centre, so he gave me the key to his car park so people could drive in. So it was social distancing. If there was, like, the odd party, it was, like, private, but they kept the social distancing, and you know, I was away from everybody, so that did work. But yeah, everybody still had to eat, you know.
And everyone was sick of making lasagna. I kept making lasagna, I kept making great big meals for myself, and I'm like, what am I doing here? Sometimes you just wanted someone else to cook for you, so you would go out and get a pizza.
Yeah.
Even when you couldn't, like you said, if you were social distancing. So what type of business are you looking to be then? What type of business are you looking for? You said you've done weddings at the weekends. Do you do festivals, corporate events? What is it?
I've done weddings, I've done christenings, private parties, I've done quite a few corporate events. I've been asked lately to do like a corporate sort of pizza making like event where people make their own pizzas.
Oh, lovely.
Recently as well, people have been asking for doing one-to-ones or group of sixes, where a lot of people buying these uni ovens or these small ovens for the gardens. So I'm looking at that area as well. But obviously you can't be in like two places at once, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm in that position in my business now, and I'm thinking, which way do I really want to go with it?
Yeah.
Do I want to get another van and put somebody in it? I've got another little pizza oven that I could put in the back of a car and do, say, a small event, say, teaching people how to cook pizzas in their oven. So, I'm a bit uncertain at the moment. I'm asking a few people sort of advice, sort of leading that way, you know.
I personally would just take it slow and look at that.
Yeah.
I would be offering out, if I can help you in any way with any advice, I'd be saying to people, would you want this training? If I brought a little pizza oven, then you can go to them and you do that through the day when you wouldn't have your events in the evening, and you pick one day a week. So look, every Tuesday I do this training if anyone's interested, see how that builds. And then just look at the balance. You might say, I absolutely love doing this bit. Let's get someone to do the pizzas in the evenings, give me a bit of family time back. Then you can balance it out. Mm. I think that's a good idea. People are looking at different ways of team building. People are looking at different things, like you said, for their own garden. How do we make the perfect pizza? You know, when friends come round, obviously you want to be the amazing pizza chef. And if you teach people to do that, well, great, you know. On first look, you wouldn't think that a pizza van business would have all those options.
No, I mean, you've got several options. I mean, I make my own dough. I don't buy anything in. So that's how it's more unique. I've got my own flavour, and then that's why people keep coming back for it.
They
trust in that flavour, and they know that flavour. I use quality ingredients. I don't use anything cheap. You know, everything's cheap. I don't use fatty cheese or anything like that. I think people will pay for that quality, you know.
Oh, 100%. A really good pizza is really good, isn't it? I mean, it's, if you get a really good quality pizza, going back to your scone-based ones, I remember making a home-based pizza. It tasted like I'd just put veg on top of a scone. I mean, it wasn't nice at all. If I was making scones, I'd probably be proud because it rose so much. But it did not taste anything like a pizza whatsoever. So I could probably do the lesson on a pizza for sure. Next steps, you're looking at possibilities of other vans. Do you think you're all fired up for the next 10 years now?
Yeah, I'm actually getting involved with a partner that I'm dealing with, another business. It's actually a drink.
Oh.
So food and drink always go well together.
100%.
And it's actually a vegan energy drink.
Wow.
So we're currently working on this, and for every can that we sell, we'll plant a tree.
Oh, lovely. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
And would you sell those alongside the pizzas in the van?
Yeah. I would actually sell them alongside the van. To obviously get it out there. We're getting a lot of interest, actually, in Australia. We've got some interest in Australia for it.
Wow. Well, I'll take it for you if you want.
Yeah, please do. But yeah, we're going to try and keep it as natural as possible, but not of these big sugars and everything.
Well, this is what people are looking for. Lots of people have gone vegan. We know that. People are looking for high energy, low calorie, you know, something that actually tastes nice. So, yeah, brilliant.
Am I allowed to say the name, what it's called?
Yeah.
It's going to be called Rooted. So, yeah.
So you're doing that with someone else?
Yeah, a guy called Jack Knowles, who's another entrepreneur. We connected actually through Twitter. He's followed me for a while and I followed him.
Wow.
And he's actually tasted my pizzas and he's vegan. We actually work well together. We have the same sort of ideas and flow, and he's came up with this concept and we've sort of growing this, you know, this together.
Wow. And actually you're rooted, but you're all fired up.
I mean, how it came about all fired up, it was because I was all fired up, ready to go.
Yeah.
You know, and as Sam Smith says, you've got that fire in your belly.
Yeah.
And we want to create that with, say, the youngsters, creating that fire in the belly and get them inspired to, you know, get out there and do work.
Absolutely. Well, I think it's going to go from strength to strength. You're all fired up business. You would fire pizzas. It sounds amazing. And rooted. So I wish you all the best for that. And thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you very much, Kath.
Thank you for listening to this episode. I'll see you next time. Voiceitpr.com.